Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Labor is top concern for business expansion, by Mella McEwen. Midland Development Corp's mission extends beyond attracting new companies or industries to the tall city. Its mission includes providing support to existing businesses and entrepreneurs through its business retention and expansion efforts. Since joining the MDC as Business Retention and Expansion Coordinator, Sammy Steele has met with a number of locally owned and operated businesses ranging from oil and gas to utilities, manufacturing, wholesale trade, transportation, and warehousing, to retailers and restaurants. While the type of businesses visited varies, Steele has found a common concern shared by all: labor, followed by capital. In February, she reported at the MDC's March board meeting, she visited 8 businesses, primarily consulting and marketing and childcare or entertainment, along with bakeries, wholesale trade, oil and gas services, and construction. The top factor impacting their businesses, they told her, was wage rates, followed by capital and labor. Steele said the top 3 takeaways from her February visits were transplant dilemmas. Transplant business owners, those not native to the area, mentioned finding it difficult to break into Midland's networking system. They also mentioned Midland's need to more quickly adapt to change, so in order to apply new ideas, attract businesses, and improve the city's quality of life. Keeping employees happy. Steele said she heard a strong emphasis on the need to invest in leadership workshops and training for managers. Another suggestion is how the younger professionals, not getting as involved in the energy industry as they once were, could be targeted by modernizing and more technology like social media, videos, and marketing the energy industry to reach a new demographic. Business expansion hoops and headaches. Some businesses say expanding and growing a business in Midland is overly complicated, and they have to spend time navigating bureaucracy to address everything from infrastructure costs to annexation to platting to contractors, planning and zoning, Encore, and local politics. The whole point of BRE visits is to establish relationships with our locally owned and operated businesses. I try to meet with businesses that are applicable to MDC's capital incentives, Steele told the Reporter Telegram by email. Her goal is to visit about 10 businesses a month. She doesn't have a set theme of business types for her visit, instead letting them happen naturally. For instance, in December and November, contractors and hospitality, hotels, were brought up as a concern for a lot of entrepreneurs. So in January and February, I made sure to meet or touch base with contractors and hospitality businesses. She wrote, "Some months, businesses reach out to me directly. They either have expansion plans or saw a post on social media about MDC and want to learn more. In other months, I cold call local businesses and set up visits when I can." Steele continued, "During my visits, I have a set of questions I ask the owners. I share those answers confidentially to our board each month. I always tell the business owners, the more I can understand what they are experiencing every day, the easier it is to address those things in our community. While MDC's incentives aren't useful for every business, I'm usually able to provide helpful connections to resources or ideas that can help their business or life in Midland." Midland Reporter Telegram, read by Leah Croft. Friday, March 10, 2023, Volume 94, Number 261. Lawmakers worry about loss of state park in West Texas by Emily Brindley, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. As the state of Texas continues to face down the loss of Fairfield Lake State Park to development, officials say they will begin conversations about purchasing the only other state park that sits on privately owned land to prevent a similar fate. State officials are still looking for ways to retain Fairfield Lake State Park, which Texas has leased for decades from power company Vistra Corporation. Vistra is in the process of selling 5,000 acres, including the 1,800-acre park, to private developer Todd Interests. The Dallas-based development firm plans to build a gated community of multi-million dollar homes and might also sell water from Fairfield Lake to the Metroplex, the Star-Telegram previously reported. Vistra also owns the land in Lake Colorado City State Park in West Texas. At a Thursday legislative hearing of the House Committee on Culture, Recreation, and Tourism, a Vistra spokesperson said the company would be open to selling the 500 acres at Lake Colorado City. The spokesperson, Brad Watson, said that Vistra would expect fair market value for that land. Vistra's invitation is to look to the future, Watson told the committee. Republican Representative Trent Ashby of Lufkin, the committee chairman, replied that he would be interested in those conversations. We will definitely be following up with you on that, Ashby told Watson. Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission Chair Arch Beaver Applin III, who also spoke to the committee hearing, said he would immediately reach out to Vistra about the possibility. Lake Colorado City State Park is in Mitchell County, about halfway between Abilene and Midland. The park, which state records show is officially owned by Texas Electric Service Company, a precursor to the Vistra subsidiary Luminant, has a number of parallels to Fairfield Lake State Park. Both parks contain lakes that were constructed as cooling reservoirs for power plants that Vistra and its subsidiaries operated on nearby property. Both of the parks opened under leases from Vistra in the 1970s, Fairfield in 1976, and Lake Colorado City in 1972. But, importantly, the Lake Colorado City State Park land is not currently under contract with a private buyer, meaning that there's a relatively clear path for the State Parks and Wildlife Department to purchase the land. According to records provided by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, there are 15 state parks that sit on leased land, including Fairfield Lake and Lake Colorado City. But all 13 of the other parks are leased to the state government, to the state by government entities, with 8 of the 13 currently owned by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Only the two Vistra-owned parks are leased from a private owner. Element 14 provides home for gamers, podcast creators, by Ben Schaefer. Element 14 in North Midland is a one-stop for all things digital arts. Whether customers want to game or create content, like podcasts or music, the new Midland business, which opened February 17, has the amenities. In between games, customers can enjoy a beer or cocktail at the bar. Element 14 can be found at the Colonnade at Polo Park, 4610 North Garfield Street. Gaming terminals. Experienced competitive gamers and those with a casual gaming attitude can enjoy Element 14. Whether customers want to play individually or come with a group of friends, they can sit at any of the 30 available terminals equipped with a PlayStation 5 or Xbox. A few of the terminals are outfitted with a high-end, custom-built Paradox PC. In addition, the facility has stations with big-screen televisions set up to play Nintendo Switch games with friends. Games. Patrons can play the nearly 30 titles preloaded onto the gaming systems individually, with or against friends. popular games like Apex Legends, Call of Duty Warzone, Super Smash Bros., Mortal Kombat, and more are available. However, Element 14 staff keeps a few titles on hand and are willing to load a game of your choice onto a system, given they have the capability and are called ahead of a visit or given the appropriate time to do so during a visit. Podcasting. Podcasting has exploded in popularity over the last few years. Statista reported in January that in 2006, only 22% of American adults were aware of podcasting. In 2022, 62% of U.S. consumers listened to audio podcasts. Spotify has an estimated 5 million podcasts on their platform. From sectioned-off rooms available to rent for an hour to Shure microphones, audio and video equipment with recording or live stream abilities, Element 14 has all the amenities available for any group or individual with a podcast idea. It costs $69.99 to use solely Element 14's audio capabilities and $99.99 for audio and video. Element 14 staff has the knowledge to simplify the experience if aspiring podcasters aren't well-versed in audio and video. Tournaments. With its opening last month, Element 14 has hosted one FIFA tournament. There is a Madden tournament on March 19. The semifinalists and finalists of the tournaments play each other on the Element 14 stage, and their game is broadcasted to every television in the facility. In addition to winning the $500 grand prize, the winner of the FIFA tournament left his signature on a golden soccer ball on display. The Madden winner will do the same with a football and win the same cash prize. For its FIFA tournament, second place won $100 and third place won $50. The Bar. Although Element 14 owners will tell you they are a digital arts experience first and a bar second, a unique feature of the location is the bar. Customers under 21 are allowed into the space, but 21-year-olds are given a wristband, allowing them to purchase alcoholic beverages. Element 14 collaborated with Tall City Brewing Company to create 8-Bit, an IPA exclusively sold at Element 14. Non-alcoholic beverages, mostly energy drinks like Prime Energy and G Fuel, are also sold. Online, e14experience.com. Facebook, facebook.com/e14element14. Commentary. Workforce is the biggest problem no one is talking about. By Stuart Doreen. There will be a Midland City Council retreat on Friday. During the retreat, council members will hear from city staff and then determine priorities for the longer and shorter terms. They will talk about infrastructure, law enforcement, parks, water, city service, etc., all worthy discussion items. But they will not talk about a very underrated, albeit very significant issue, in Midland right now. That issue is the lack of workforce. It will be interesting. Sometime during a presentation from city staff, the Texas Workforce Commission will report Midland's unemployment rate for January. In December, that rate was 2.6%, which tied Midland with Amarillo for the lowest percentage in the state. That December report also shows a civilian labor force of 105,500 workers. That is equally as telling. You experience that number every time you walk into a restaurant, business, or quality of place venue. You notice that civilian labor force statistic every time you drive by an unkept park or empty road construction site. You should remember that that number every time officials with the Midland Police Department or Midland Fire Department say they are short of employees. Thinking about the lack of workforce reminds me of the conversations we often have about traveling to other metropolitan areas. Some people are envious of the more modern parks or a great restaurant that doesn't exist in Midland. Not me. I enjoy other areas because of the service you enjoy when you leave Midland. I have written this before, and I will write it again. The greatest quality of place need in Midland right now is the lack of people that a business has to choose from. When a new restaurant opens, it just steals from other restaurants. When a venue opens, it will just hire from existing workforce that already is employed at a 97.4% clip. People who don't work right now likely choose not to work or are unemployable. I remember when the Midland City Council unanimously approved a legal bribe to bring a new theater / entertainment center, national retailer, and other stores to Midland. My first thought wasn't, I can't wait to experience it, but who's going to work there? It is a legitimate concern. Housing quietly is becoming an issue again, with the median house available in Midland selling for more than $300,000 and apartments again rising to be among the most expensive in the region. Even famed economist Ray Perryman told readers recently that there is no reason to think the good times inside Midland County are going to slow down anytime soon. So barring a once-in-a-generation pandemic beating down oil demand or the Saudis turning on the spigots, we shouldn't expect anything less than full employment. Does anyone feel ready for it? Does anyone believe that when the entertainment center or national retailer open their tens of thousands of square feet to the public, they won't have raided stores, shops, and other businesses across the city to find their workers? Does anyone feel our community could even handle such an increase in workforce if they showed up on our doorstep tomorrow, ready and willing to work? I hope the Midland City Council has a productive retreat on Friday. They will talk about spending tens of millions of dollars on road projects, senior centers, a new city hall, parks, new training centers for police and fire departments, and potentially hundreds of millions on bringing more water to town. Again, most of these are worthy projects at this time. But will we hear anyone mention anything that helps build overall workforce and brings more people to Midland to fill job vacancies that are already exist outside of the city of Midland ranks? Probably not. Which brings up the last questions of this article. If not the Midland City Council, then who? And if not now, then when? This is a priority Midland must figure out. Letters policy. There is a 350-word limit. Candidate letters have a 200-word limit. Letters must be submitted to S. Doreen, Hart at HearstNP.com. Please note the change in address. S. Doreen at HearstNP.com. Deadline is noon Thursdays for the following Sunday. Reporter Telegram policy limits individuals to one letter in a 30-day period. Letter writing should include phone number and address. Failure to do so could delay letter's publication. MISD employee actions consistent with being under the influence. By Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD reported Thursday that an employee is on administrative leave after reports the employee exhibited behavior consistent with being under the influence while on duty. Per MISD policy, the employee was placed on administrative leave while MISD conducts its investigation, MISD reported. This employee is not being charged with any criminal offense. MISD has no further information at this time. The lack of information includes what school that employee worked at, the position of the employee, when the incident happened, and whether the employee tested for having alcohol or drugs in their system. Midlander charged with intoxication manslaughter by Mercedes Cordero. A 21-year-old Midland man charged with intoxication manslaughter following a fatal two-car collision in North Midland was being held Thursday on a $100,000 bond, Midland County Jail records show. Nicholas Yeager was arrested on Wednesday night in connection with the death of 34-year-old Tracy Lynn Klein, also from Midland. Midland Police Department officers were dispatched at about 9:58 p.m. to the intersection of North Big Spring Street and Mockingbird Lane in reference to the accident. Upon arrival, Midland Fire Department EMS was attending to Klein. She was then transported to Midland Memorial Hospital, where she passed away from injuries sustained in the accident, according to the arrest affidavit. The investigation shows that a Toyota Highlander, driven by Klein, was traveling east on Mockingbird Lane and crossed Big Spring Street to continue eastward. A Ford F-350, driven by Yeager, was attempting to make a left turn south onto North Big Spring Street from Mockingbird Lane. Yeager failed to yield the right-of-way to the Toyota Highlander, according to a previous Reporter Telegram report. An MPD officer interviewing Yeager detected an odor of alcohol emitting from his person, according to the arrest affidavit. Yeager stated he was coming from a friend's apartment at the Drakes when he arrived at the intersection and had a red light. He observed his light turn green and began his turn slowly when the accident occurred, according to the arrest affidavit. When asked if he had been drinking, Yeager admitted to drinking a 32-ounce daiquiri drink, according to the arrest affidavit. Yeager consented to a standard field sobriety test, and officers determined Yeager intentionally and knowingly drove a motor vehicle in a public roadway while intoxicated. He was placed under arrest for driving while intoxicated. His charges were enhanced to intoxication manslaughter, a second-degree felony charge, after officers learned Klein had died from her injuries, according to the arrest affidavit. MPD arrest woman seen abandoning dogs at car wash, by Mercedes Cordero. A woman captured on surveillance footage abandoning three dogs at a North Midland car wash has been arrested, according to court documents. Rachel May Barnes, 38, was charged with cruelty to an animal by abandoning a Class A misdemeanor. Midland Police Department officers were dispatched to Midland Animal Services on February 17 in reference to three dogs that were abandoned at the Green and Clean car wash at 5310 Briarwood Avenue. Officers obtained surveillance footage from the business that showed two women, later identified as Barnes and a teenage girl, at the car wash abandoning the dogs. Midland Animal Services was able to catch all three puppies who were in poor health and needed medical attention, according to the arrest affidavit. The surveillance footage was also sent to Midland Crime Stoppers to share on its Facebook page to get the public to help in identifying the woman. During the investigation, MPD interviewed a witness that stated Barnes and the teen girl were at the car wash for about an hour and observed they were acting suspiciously. The witness also stated he saw surveillance footage as they took out a kennel from the back of the vehicle and let the dogs out. Surveillance footage showed Barnes scaring the puppies away from them. The witness also said he spoke with her and asked if the dogs were hers, but she denied ownership and left the car wash, according to the arrest affidavit. He called Midland Animal Services for help. On March 1, MPD was able to identify Barnes and made contact with her. During her interview, Barnes stated she was not from the area and had picked the dogs up from Fort Stockton. She claimed that she stopped at the car wash to clean the car and call animal control to pick them up, according to the arrest affidavit. When asked why she left the dogs out, she said they had to go potty and she did not have leashes. Barnes also stated she called Midland Animal Services, but when she provided a screenshot of the call to Animal Services to MPD, investigators could not confirm Barnes ever called them. MPD issued an arrest warrant for Barnes and she was arrested on March 4. She has been released on bond. Price of oil, $75.72, down 94 cents. Midland's average gas price down from 2022, by Ben Schaefer. Gas prices increased statewide this week as Midland remains home to the second highest average price in Texas, according to AAA Texas. Although El Paso at $3.44 and Midland at $3.18 are home to the two highest prices in the state, no other West Texas cities make up the top five highest gas price averages of the 27 largest Texas metro areas AAA surveys, straying from recent trends. AAA Texas reported this week that the average in Midland jumped 13 cents. That was 1 cent less than the price hike in Odessa, where the average reported was $3.11. Rounding out the five cities with the highest averages were Corpus Christi at $3.15, Dallas at $3.14, and Fort Worth Arlington at $3.13. AAA Texas reported the following prices around the region: $3 in Abilene, an increase of 14 cents, $3.07 in Lubbock, an increase of 18 cents, and $3.11 in Amarillo, an increase of 17 cents. Motorists in San Angelo are paying the lowest gas prices statewide at $2.91. The price there increased 6 cents this week. As a busy spring break season gets underway, the increasing pressure on fuel demand is causing retail gas prices to increase, said the AAA Texas spokesperson Daniel Armbruster. While gas prices have climbed above $3 again in many areas across the state, the average price for fuel is significantly cheaper than at this time last year, which will likely spur demand for travel this spring and summer. A year ago, the average gas price in Midland was $4.01. In Odessa, it was $4 even. Texas gas price average fell to the third lowest in the nation after many consecutive weeks as the cheapest in the country. This week's 12-cent price increase to $3.06 put Texas behind Mississippi and Missouri. The national average for gas is $3.47. Midland Moments, Regional Dance America Festival Classes Begin, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Classes for the 2023 Southwest Regional Dance America Festival began Thursday morning for participating dancers. Some of the morning classes include classical ballet, musical theater, and African. Students will attend multiple classes, ranging in an array of styles, through the weekend. Other skills include point and contemporary. Showcases will happen at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center through Saturday evening. Purchase tickets at wagnernoel.com/events. Obituaries and death notices. David Cavanaugh Sachs. David Cavanaugh Sachs passed away in the early morning hours on Sunday, March 5, 2023, at the age of 64. David was born on October 14, 1958. He was adopted by Dick Sachs Jr. and Mary Virginia Sachs shortly after birth. David would always say that he could not have been luckier to be adopted by such great parents. Growing up, David was an active member of Boy Scouts Troop 41. This had a long-lasting effect on David. He was always ready and always prepared. He was also always ready to let you know that you were slowing him down for being late and unprepared. Many summers were spent at Camp Stewart in Hunt, Texas. Never ready to come home from camp, he thrived on all the activities available to him. He was raised in Midland and graduated from Midland High in 1977. While in high school, he played tennis and was editor of the school newspaper. As any of his friends from those days would tell you, David had a penchant for breaking the rules and having fun, a theme throughout his life. The thoughts, and especially the opinions, of other people never stopped him from doing what he wanted to do. If you ever got the chance to listen to him tell stories from those days, you were treated to tales of hilarious hijinks, mischief, and the occasional run-in with local law enforcement. After high school, David attended Southwestern University in Georgetown and later the University of North Texas in Denton, Kappa Sig. He worked in commercial real estate and ranch management until he returned to Midland when he reconnected with Victoria Sachs. She was a fellow MHS classmate that shared an honors philosophy class with him. She recalled that he intimidated her with his strong opinions and equally strong arguments for the same. The two married on Thanksgiving Day 2010 in Chimayo, New Mexico. It was also during this time that David met his future business partner, Reagan Rich, and the two founded Optima Land Services in 2014. He was so proud of himself and his partners for building and maintaining a successful and thriving company in his third act of life. David is predeceased by his parents, Richard Dick Baxter Sachs Jr. and Mary Virginia Sachs. He is survived by his wife, Victoria Vicky Sachs, his sister, Claudia Sachs, Michael Hale, and his stepdaughter, Jessie Medlin, her husband, Christopher, their daughters, Jaden and Emma, his sister-in-law, Rainey Walker, his nephew and niece, Miles Walker, Katie, and Madeline Walker, sister-in-law, Christy Lehew, and his father-in-law, Rayford Calhoun. Funeral services for David will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, March 10, 2023, at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity in Midland, Texas. Honorary pallbearers are Reagan Rich, Raymond Long, and Chase Ragsdale. A reception and celebration of life will be held at the Petroleum Club of Midland immediately following. The family invites anyone who knew David and would love to hear your stories. In lieu of flowers, please consider memorial donations to the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, 1412 West Illinois, Midland, Texas, 79701. Grand Companions Humane Society of Fort Davis, 701 Compromise Street, Fort Davis, Texas, 79734, or Helping Hands of Midland, 1301 Brinson Lane, Midland, Texas, 79703. David was one of the most unique people most of us have ever met. He was a walking contradiction. He could yell at someone for something as innocuous as the pants they were wearing, but he was also quick to help people. Many of the struggling young landmen to come through Optima were treated to a bonus to help them get through some tough times. David ran hot and cold. He would berate you, and then he'd be the warmest and kindest person you've met. It's likely because he wanted everyone to be the best they could be. But it's also possible he was just trying to make everyone more like himself. He loved jokes. His Facebook was filled with Far Side cartoons, the Marx Brothers, and occasionally Monty Python clips he thought everyone should find as funny as he did. David did not suffer fools or Democrats. If he thought you were wrong, he would tell you it immediately, without hesitation, reservation, or a second thought. He was as stubborn as they come, and changing his mind was difficult, if not impossible. He loved to read, especially the Wall Street Journal. He did so every day, cover to cover. Throughout his life, he was always learning. He attended an oil and gas law review just days before he passed. He loved people. David could effortlessly work his way through a crowded room, talking to almost everyone. He was calm and confident, and he seemed to always have a good time. This annoyed his friends. David loved to cook. He could talk to you in detail about the ingredients used in a variety of cuisines, and always had a story to tell you about when he ate an incredible dish. Many years were spent playing polo and making friends in the North Texas and Houston area. Yet his favorite pastime was playing golf. He was at home on the course with his friends, talking trash and telling them all the ways they were living their life wrong. Along with his treasured golf buddies from the Denton area, he had a regular Saturday morning group at Green Tree Country Club and would also compete and win in club tournaments. The dogs on the GTCC course will miss his rationing of treats that he always had in his cart. He loved cars. He drove fast. Good luck to anyone who tried to keep up. He was a stickler for grammar. He loved finding mistakes in writing. Likely, he's looking down at us, upset he's no longer around to find the mistakes in this tribute. He and Vicky made a yearly pilgrimage to Santa Fe and the surrounding area every Thanksgiving. The first stop was always El Santuario de Chamayo to remember how fortunate they were to have another year together and give thanks for how far they had come together. They loved to look at the art and enjoy the food and culture of New Mexico. Every time he came back from a trip, he would tell everyone what a great time they had together. David was a great man and a loyal friend. We will all miss him deeply. He leaves behind a wonderful legacy to his family and friends. We're all richer, more well-rounded people for having known him. We will all miss him. We will all miss our conversations with him, even when he was telling us to get a better haircut. It gives us comfort knowing that he's in heaven, walking with his mother and father, whom he loved so much, telling them that he tried to fix us, but we were too ignorant to listen to his wise words. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelsh.com. Gregorio George Bustamante. Ecclesiastes 12:7. And dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. After a long and hard fight, George was called home by his heavenly Father to rest as he passed away peacefully in his sleep at the age of 63. George was born on March 15, 1959, in Pecos, Texas, to Rafael and Anita Bustamante. He spent his childhood in Midland, Texas, a place he cherished and was proud to be from. After high school, George joined the United States Navy, where he served as a submariner and traveled the world between the years of 1978 and 1982, and remained a patriotic American for the remainder of his life. He made his home in Lakeland, Florida. He worked for his father-in-law, managing the Get and Go gas stations from 1992 to 2010. George is remembered as a loving father, devoted husband, a great friend, and someone who enjoyed fishing, grilling, or just having drinks with his friends and family. His wife and children will always remember the many good times spent camping together. He is survived by his wife of 31 years, Janet Bustamante. Sons Ryan, Nicolaine, Kilpatrick of Boca Raton, Florida, Gabrielle, Eva Bustamante of Fairbanks, Alaska, Gregorio, Jessica Bustamante of Lakeland, and daughter Mariah Bustamante of Polk City, Florida. He is also survived by his mother Anita Bustamante, Midland, Texas, brother Ray, Linda Bustamante of Austin, Texas, and sister Rebecca James Villanueva of Big Spring. Grandchildren, Devonte, Nia, and Maya Kilpatrick, Sophia Bustamante, Julian and Miles Bustamante, as well as numerous nieces and nephews that adored their Uncle George. George is preceded in death by his father Rafael Bustamante Sr., his brothers Sammy Bustamante, Rafael Bustamante Jr., and sister Rosella Drapiza. Memorial services will be held Saturday, March 11, from 2 to 4 p.m. at Coney Funeral Home in Lakeland, Florida. Janice Lee Carter, March 19, 1935, to March 7, 2023. Janice Lee Quinn Carter born March 19, 1935, passed peacefully into her father's and her family's arms on the morning of March 7, 2023, surrounded by family and friends. Janice was raised in Wink, Texas, by her mother, Hetty Quinn, and her father, Jesse Quinn. She graduated from Wink High School in 1953, followed by her nursing degree from Odessa College. While practicing nursing, she met the love of her life, Billy Bob Carter. They built a beautiful life and raised three sons in Midland, Texas. She worked at Midland Memorial Hospital as a regional nurse for many decades, becoming the head of nursing, among other titles. Leaving behind an incredible legacy, she earned the love and respect of scores of people. Her greatest joy was raising her family and time spent together with them. Her other hobbies included traveling across the globe, attending Kelview Baptist Church, reading and cooking for her loved ones. Janice was a world-class cleaner. Anyone that knew her could attest to that. She will be greeted with open arms by those who went before her, including her parents, her beloved husband Billy Bob Carter, her three precious sons, Keith Carter, Dr. Pete Carter, and Ken Carter, her daughter-in-law, Becky Carter, and many friends and family members that we know she is reuniting with now. Janice leaves behind her family and special friends, sister Pat Sharp, granddaughters Kristen Landon Brockman, Casey Scott Lunson, Natalie Logan Venters, daughter-in-law Leslie Carter, great-grandchildren Ryan Stroud, Brody Venters, and Quinn Brockman. Also, Pete's wife, Linda Carter, and daughters Erica, Michelle, and Elena, her longtime friend Celia Harris, her faithful hairdresser, Lori Barrett, and many other family members, special neighbors, and friends. Grammer had an amazing team of caregivers over the last 2 years. The family is forever grateful for the loving care provided by Grammer's girls, who will hold a special place in all our hearts. Her friend and physician, Cynthia Hill, and Interim Hospice. We ask that you please direct memorials for Janice to the Endowment Fund at MMH for Dr. Edward Pete Carter, Anesthesiology and Operating Room Endowment Fund. That was her wish. Kristen and Casey will have a private graveside service, but welcome all friends to share in laughter, food, and memories on Monday, March 13 at 12 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring, Midland, Texas, 79705. Oney Wheat McNeese. Oney Wheat McNeese of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully on February 23, 2023, with family at her side, after complications from Parkinson's disease. She was born on October 12, 1934, in Frost, Louisiana, to parents Jesse D. Wheat and Ebby N. Everett. After graduating from Denham Springs High School in 1953, Oney married and shortly thereafter moved to Texas, where she resided for 63 years. She was blessed with three children, Ronnie Olin McNeese and his wife Pat, Tracy McNeese Alexander and her husband Tim, and Danny Olin McNeese and his wife Derlene. Oney was a stay-at-home mom for her children until they were school-aged, when she started working for El Paso Natural Gas. Later, she and her former husband founded and operated McNeese Logging Services, Inc. Oney was also employed by FDIC and Midland Memorial Hospital. She was a longtime member of the Desk and Derrick Club and contributed to the writing of the Desk and Derrick Book of Drilling Terms, a book commonly used terms in the oil and gas industry and their shorthand connotations. Oney retired in 2000 and found great joy and happiness spending time with her grandchildren. She is survived by her aforementioned children, sisters Norma Mae Loving and Lydia Ann Bendeley, sister-in-law Patsy Wheat, 6 grandchildren, and 9 great-grandchildren, all of whom she loved dearly. Oney is preceded in death by her parents, named above, and brothers Robert Ellis Wheat and Nelius J. Wheat. She enjoyed spending time with her family and friends throughout her life. Oney was an avid card player and loved teaching others how to play. Oney could make anyone laugh with her contagious sense of humor, and she truly enjoyed making others happy. Other interests were playing any type of games, painting, ceramics, cooking, dancing, and traveling. Oney was a class act. If you knew her, you loved her. Her kind and happy-go-lucky spirit will be greatly missed. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Online condolences may be made at www.clementswilcoxfuneralhome.com. Death Notices. Anne Bays Mayworter. Anne Bays Mayworter, 94, of Midland, passed away March 6, 2023. The family will hold a service at 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 14, 2023, at Christ Church Anglican in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Roberto Herrera. Roberto Herrera passed away Wednesday, March 8, 2023. Services are pending with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, March 10th, 2023. City meetings on possible sports complex held. More Odessans have responded to a sports complex survey being conducted by the City of Odessa than any other survey before, and the results are clear. They want indoor basketball, indoor volleyball courts, and outdoor multi-sport fields. On February 14th, the Odessa City Council agreed to hire Synergy Global for $15,000 to conduct a sports complex feasibility study. Since that time, they have asked residents to participate in a 10-question online survey in the hopes of finding out what Odessans would want in such a facility. On Wednesday night, the city also held the first of 2 community meetings to gauge their feelings. More than 30 residents met with Synergy founder Jason Boudry and council members Mark Mata, Denise Swanner, and Greg Connell at the Lawndale Community Building. Boudry told the group more than 2,800 people have responded to the online survey so far, with 60% of them residing in Districts 2 and 4. Given where they live, Boudry said it's probably not surprising to learn 66% of the respondents would like a sports complex in their area. 83% of the respondents said they'd like both fields and indoor space, even if it brought more traffic. Synergy, which also develops and manages multi-sports facilities and recreation centers, helped create a $25 million sports complex in Heath, a $125 million complex in Colorado, and a $40 million project in New Jersey. Boudry told the group, "Every project starts with a blank slate. They have no preconceived ideas and build facilities based upon data. They not only met with citizens to get their input, but they look at demographics and socioeconomics, sports participation rates, competitors, the size and components of the city's courts and fields, possible partnerships, and construction costs," Boudry said. By gathering all of that information, Synergy, quote, "can make a very educated decision and come back to the city council and say, this is what the data said, this is what the community said, and this is what we are recommending," end quote, Boudry said. While Synergy, quote, "doesn't have a dog in this fight," end quote, Boudry stressed the last thing he wants to do is put his name on a facility that isn't working 2 or 3 years down the road. He wants to make sure a community gets the sports complex they need and want, but he also wants to ensure it is a self-sustaining facility, Boudry said. "Since Synergy began building projects 15 to 20 years ago, a lot has changed," Boudry said. "Nowadays, communities are often looking to build facilities that will entice teams from other communities to schedule tournaments there." quote, sports tourism, end quote, can bring in additional restaurant and motel sales tax revenues, but it can also present challenges with traffic and too few amenities, Boudry said. In looking at Odessa in terms of sports tourism, Synergy has determined that by 2027, there will be nearly 369,000 people living within 30 miles of Odessa, more than 462,000 living within 60 miles, and more than 1 million within 120 miles. The average household income in Odessa in 2017 will be an estimated $110,000. The size of any complex will depend upon what features the community wants and what the community can sustain, he said. While there may be plenty of teams willing to travel a couple of hours to Odessa on the weekends, the trick is being able to afford operating it Monday through Friday, Boudry said. On the positive side, folks who live a couple of hours away will come less frequently. They'll spend more money while they're here, he said. In addition to going over the online surveys, Boudry and the city staff gave the attendees 5 stickers apiece and asked them to place them on poster boards showing other activities they might be interested in. Theoretically, they could place all 5 stickers on one item, one on 5 items, or split them more evenly. When they were done, Ice Rinks received 42 stickers, far outpacing an advanced rope course, 20, pump track, 18, laser tag, 17, and such things as a climbing wall, esports space, golf simulator, teen room, bumper cars, and inflatables. Those who responded online listed competitive pools and ice rinks last on their list of priorities. The online survey also indicates residents would like to see indoor turf areas, baseball-slash-softball fields, indoor batting cages, and playground-slash-splash parks. A few people in attendance told Boudry they were more focused on fields than the items listed on the poster board, pointing out Synergy Odessa already provides those amusements. After the meeting, Mata said he knew many Odessans have long been interested in a sports complex, but was quite pleased to see how many took the time to turn out Wednesday night and fill out the surveys. Quote, we're finally getting some traction on it, end quote, Mata said. Although we'd love to have a sports complex in District 1, Mata said city-owned property south of the interstate is in a flood zone. Quote, I have to look at what's the best solution for the city, end quote, Mata said. Most of the city's growth is in District 2, Mata said. The city owns property near Home Depot, but there's also hope a local developer might be willing to donate land to the city, he said. A Midland man who attended the meeting suggested the city approach the Midland City Council to see if there would be interest in a joint complex. He also suggested the city reach out to the oil and gas industry to see if companies might be willing to invest. Synergy is expected to finish compiling their data following a second community meeting that was scheduled to be held Thursday night. They'll come back before the City Council March 28th with potential site and floor plans, renderings, ideas on financing the project, and a potential operating budget. Mojo heads to Austin. PHS debaters head for state. 4 Permian High School debaters are heading for state competition March 16th through 18th at University of Texas at Austin. Led by speech and debate coach Seth Trevino, the 4 students include Allie Duckworth, her partner Ivory Duggan, Abigail Scott, and her partner Sapna Yadala. Helping lift them to state were Michael Galindo and William Human. Quote, We could not have done without those boys. They didn't get the state nod, but they definitely helped propel everybody else up, end quote, Trevino said. He added that as far as he knows, this is the first time in a while that PHS has made it to state in debate. Quote, it's an excellent group, end quote, Trevino said. Specific practices are held after school once a week, but they also practice in class, and Trevino has different events that he runs other than policy debate. A lot of the students cross into other events. Quote, in policy, we've been debating since August. The U.S. working with NATO and either artificial intelligence, biotechnology, or cybersecurity, end quote, Trevino said. There are also Lincoln-Douglas debates, which are tackling term limits, extemporaneous speaking, which covers current events and acting. Trevino's focus is policy debate. Quote, the future is bright for Permian debate on all fronts, end quote, he added. This is the first year Scott, a 17-year-old junior, has competed in debate. Quote, I had an extra elective open, and I just really wanted to focus on academics. Also, I needed a speech credit as well, end quote, Scott said. Quote, it wasn't something I had ever tried before. I was really nervous to start off because it was something new to me. But once you get going, it's actually really, really fun and very enjoyable, end quote, he added. She added, Scott said they are preparing and getting ready for what's to come by going over speech drills and doing all they can to perform well at state. Quote, it is a lot, but it's also very enjoyable. It gives you something to do, and it's definitely a personal challenge, especially with the different positions, the different speakers, but it's never a dull moment. You're never bored. You're always doing something, so I enjoy that, end quote, Scott said. She added that debate has helped her with her schoolwork. Quote, it has given me more confidence if I have to do presentations. It also gives me framework for not only essays, but arguments as well. If I want to make an argumentative essay as well. It definitely has helped me in all areas, and I feel like it's also given me more confidence not only in school, but also in my day-to-day life, end quote, Scott said. Duggan, a 17-year-old junior, is in her second year of debate. Quote, I heard about it from a few friends, so I decided to try it out, and then I ended up really loving it. The environment is really great here, as well as the coach, end quote, Duggan said. She added that she's really nervous about state, but also super excited. Quote, I'm happy to be taking Permian to state and working with my fellow classmates. They're really great. I can't wait to work hard with them and accomplish a bunch of things, end quote, Duggan said. She added that debate has broadened her horizons. Quote, it's opened me up to a bunch of different world problems that I want to focus on more. I went from wanting to be a doctor to a lawyer, so it's definitely impacted me a lot, end quote, Duggan said. She added that she's grateful to be working with the team she has and to have an, quote, amazing coach, end quote, like Trevino. She said Trevino has kept them working hard, but is also an encouraging person. Duckworth, also a 17-year-old junior, has been in debate for 2 years. She learned about debate through a Schoology post. Quote, I had just recently gotten into writing. I thought about pursuing a career in journalism, so I thought this would be a good outlet for that. I just kind of started. I wasn't really sure what it was like, and then I ended up really, really enjoying it, end quote, Duckworth said. She's still in a bit of shock about making it to state, but really excited. Quote, we worked really hard to get here, so I'm not surprised that we were able to do it at all. It's just the craziest thing that we're actually going to be going and competing at state, but I think we're all really excited. I know I am, a little nervous, but excited, end quote, Duckworth said. She added that her teammates are what has made her stay around. Quote, it's really, truly a family here. It's unlike any other team I've ever been on. We're all very close. We all work really well together, and it makes competing and even the stressful parts of it really fun and worth it, just because we're all so close and such a close family here, end quote, Duckworth said. Yadala, a 16-year-old junior, joined debate last year but is not in the class. Quote, I've had good partners to help me learn, the ones that are in the class, so they helped me adapt, end quote, Yadala said. She met Trevino near the end of her freshman year. Quote, I didn't really know we had a debate program, but we met on some UIL trip, and he suggested that I'd be really good at it for sophomore year. He says he really liked my demeanor. He thought I'd be good at debate. So even though I didn't take it seriously at first, as sophomore year progressed, especially January or so, I started really caring about the program, end quote, Yadala said. She added that it's exciting to be heading to state. Quote, because last year we thought we really had a really good shot, but this year we're really excited because we actually are going, and not only it's just one team going, it's two. So it's great that we, you know, took both spots, that we all get to have a nice trip together. Go to Austin. So just the whole trip and the whole, even if we don't per se do well, it's still an exciting trip, end quote, Yadala said. She added that it has helped her in academics. She is an academic decathlon, so there's a lot of speaking and essays. Quote, debate really helped my speaking skills in that aspect. I learn a lot from debate. I feel more informed about the world. I feel like I know much more about these topics than I would before, and especially just my logic and reasoning skills. I feel like not necessarily the math type of logic, but just in general logic. Arguing, remaining calm while talking to people. I think that's really helped me in my everyday life, even without classes, end quote, Yadala said. She added that she's really glad the debate program is around. Quote, I really hope more people join because we've been growing year after year. I think last year there was maybe 20 kids, and then this year there's around 40, end quote, Yadala said. Since a lot of the team is juniors, they are hoping to attract some younger students like freshmen and sophomores into the program. Quote, it's a really beneficial program. It's fun. We have fun trips. Trevino's a great guy, so I really hope a lot of younger kids join it, end quote, Yadala said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.